Well, I want to welcome everybody to another wonderful edition of Saturday AM Live. It's, well, as Mr. Rogers says, it is a beautiful day in my neighborhood if you like drizzle and rain and fog. But hey, that's springtime come alive for us. And today, Barb Satterwhite has agreed to join us and not only share her story, but, Barb, I don't know how we put that to word, but basically, I am really curious about some of the things that you're doing at this stage of the game with everything that's going on in our world to not only maintain a very active NECAN organization, but continue building onward and upward and that kind of thing. So, but before we get into that, let's learn a little bit about Barb Satterwhite. Who is this wonderful platinum from Richmond, Virginia, and how on earth did you go transition from going to a registered nurse to full-time wellness consultant? So that's kind of a big lead-in there, but let's learn about Barb.
Hi, Vance. Thank you so much for having me. And actually, I have to go back to a lot of memory recall because it's been 12 years since I was introduced to this weekend.
I know, and I do that on purpose because that means you're really going to have to work.
Yeah. Actually, it's not work because it's so vivid in my memory. And but I actually was introduced 13 years ago while we were skiing in Colorado, and we were skiing with a friend who had bad knees. And we had not, we used to race with this gentleman, and he's a beautiful, beautiful skier, but we had not seen or skied with him for years. And we were out there, and we're riding the chairlift, and he looks at me, and I knew he had bad knees. I knew he had had surgery, and I knew he ate a lot of Advil just to ski, and said to Don and I on the chairlift, I'm not taking any Advil for my knees anymore. And I looked at him and said, so what are you doing? And I was in full-time nursing at the time, so my background is, as you mentioned, nursing, and having been 29 years at the Medical College of Virginia Hospital here in Richmond, and working at the time. And he said, it's the darndest thing, Barbara, but I'm wearing magnetic insoles, and I'm sleeping on a magnetic mattress pad. And I can remember it because I looked at him and said, so how does that work? And was so skeptical, and he kept talking. I said, but how does it work? He says, I don't know. All I know is my wife's off all of her anti-inflammatories, that friends we loan this to are thanking us. And he says, and I kept questioning him. Well, I get off the chairlift, I laugh, I ski down, I do nothing for a year. Absolutely nothing. A year later, which would be 12 years ago, December, we're going back out in 3 weeks and in December, and where I work out, the lady has a very bad back, and she's been to every doctor in Richmond, does all the right things, but has to lie on the floor while she works because she hurts so bad. And I just happened to say to Don, as I'm going out to work out, I've got to get her to the head of neurosurgery at MCV. Nobody's helping her. He laughs and hits me on the shoulder and says, why'd you tell her about those magnets? And now, really.
Now, this is a year later, and had you actually hooked up with me? I mean, were you used to
it?
No. He was reminding you of this silly conversation that happened on the chairlift. And okay.
Exactly.
Now, I have to imagine that from a Western-trained medical personnel that, in a year's time, obviously, if nothing had really grabbed you from that conversation, you weren't really keen on, you know, because you, if you would have heard, I mean, if you would have, if it was anything legit, you would have obviously heard about it, right? Is that what you were thinking?
Well, not necessarily that. It was just that I'd never heard about it, and I just left. I never analyzed it at all. I didn't go in down the road of, I just never heard of it. It didn't make sense to me, so I didn't do anything about it.
Okay.
And the thing that I did know, though, is that that person that was telling me about it wasn't trying to sell me anything. He didn't need to. He had a very good business. So I knew they weren't trying, and they were good friends. They weren't trying to get me into anything. They were just explaining what happened to his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like I didn't believe. I just didn't, it didn't ring a bell.
Okay.
So anyway, fast forward to that the next year, and as Don says that to me, I looked at him and I said, well, it won't hurt. And I asked the trainer, would they be interested? And she said, well, bring me some information. So I called my friends and said, bring me that stuff to Vail, I want to read about it. And they literally brought, you know, the old mimeograph copies of things. And the one article I was reading got my attention. It talked about magnetic Earth and how plants, animals, and humans wouldn't survive if it wasn't for magnetic Earth. And I said to myself, this kind of makes sense because I love being outside. I feel better outside. And there was that whole article in there about magnetic deficiency syndrome in Japan using sleep systems. And so that got my attention. And when I went over to see them in their hotel room that night, she had gotten hit by a snowboarder that day, and he took, back then, the Magboy. Didn't have many products back then, but he had the Magboy and rolled it all over her shoulder. And she says, I don't hurt anymore. He did it for about 20 minutes, and she skied the rest of the week. So all I said to them was, when I get back to Richmond, I want to know about these products. And we stayed an extra day. They left, and Don fell. We all had bad knees. His knee got swollen. We did all the nurse things. Iced it, elevated it, flew home, and I said, I wish I had some of those magnets. Called them up, and they brought two minis to us. I put two minis on Don's knee under a knee brace. He was in concrete construction at the time, goes out and does a job. I come home from MCV. I said, let me see your knee, and all the swelling was gone. I looked at him and said, I am not stupid. You don't go out and work on that and that get better. I want these things. Signed up to send products to my dad, and that's the rest is history.
And you continued in a while in the nursing industry?
I did. I worked 6 more months. I was looking at early retirement, and I've been there 29 years. And if you're doing the numbers, I started as a teenager. So 12 years ago, I did the early retirement and was looking at that and said to myself, I know I need to work, but whatever I do, it's going to be with fun people. And this was before I knew Niken.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm exploring that last 6 months and learning more about Niken, going to Dave Stolz's trainings and seminars in Harrisonburg, meeting people, I kind of laughed about it and said, maybe this is something I'll do. And bottom line is, I just started, and then I started going home, seeing my dad, and realized, wow, the benefit, the biggest benefit when I look back of those years, especially the last 8 years of dad's life, was I could go home to see my dad in Canada 4, 5, 6 times a year. I never could have done that and worked for somebody else, and yet every time I went home, I was either in front of people, talking to people about Niken, working with Crosslines up there. And it just went from there.
Okay. And that's kind of the, as you said, the rest of the story, and literally that that transition or that, again, because I have to think, I'm not medically trained, but there had to have been quite a few paradigm shifts for you because, as you said, you know, this article on, magnetic Earth and then how it all fits together, but again, you spent a good portion of your life working in an industry that's not necessarily the opposite of wellness. However, there is a shift in our culture today going from healthcare to self-care, which is where we fall into the category of. But was there at any point that you felt obligated to, run to all your colleagues and say you... Or maybe you did talk to some of them, and, did that go very far? I mean, just out of curiosity?
Well, I obviously shared Niken with other people, and one of the first person I gave insults to was Donna Pinnock here in Richmond, and met her in a Walmart while we were getting tires for the car, and I was skeptical about that, and she was hurting, and gave her one insole. I didn't give her two. I gave her one to walk around in. And she bought the very first pair I had in my car that night in the parking lot. But as far as medical people, I remember the first person I gave to was another fellow nurse manager up here. And I get this voicemail 2 weeks later saying, Barbara, I can't believe this. I'm going up and down stairs between units and my knees aren't hurting. I'm getting up from my chair and my hips aren't hurting. And I was like, oh. I mean, very, like, I had no idea this would work. I mean, in terms of that way. So, yeah, I have introduced it to fellow nurses, and that's been easy, but I don't necessarily approach healthcare people per se, but if I know them, I have introduced it, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's no different than any other industry. I guess that's where my questions keep going, that when you have the relationship with people, or when you have a rapport, some common ground, or even, you know, meeting someone like Donna in a Walmart, there's relationship that can be built. However, just because you being a registered nurse, not necessarily the token expert on making that huge transition. And we've talked to several doctors and nurses before on the call, and developing a relationship with them, I begin to understand that just because you're in a particular industry does not mean that you're going to be able to transition that whole entire industry, because this, again, falls in that category of self-care. We have to take ownership of our own wellness, and when you don't have the backing of, what's taught in our universities, I mean, it's there, the scientific research is there, but, we're talking, what's the pharmaceutical industry that we would be shutting down if we went this direction? We're talking billions, right?
Uh-huh, exactly.
I mean, I've heard some numbers that are just off the chart atrocious. Now, over the last 12 years, Barb, you've maintained a very, very active lifestyle. Now, are you and Don still snow skiing today?
We sure are. Not today, by the way. It's nice and sunny here today.
Well, I know not today, because I know what you have planned today. You're out doing some networking and nickening, and I was on the slopes yesterday, and of course it rained and snowed on us, but how do I say this and be politically correct, you're not exactly still in your 20s anymore.
You're absolutely right. If you do the math, I'm actually 62, well, be 63 this year.
Okay. So, and to maintain an active lifestyle, number one, you got to take good care of your body, but number two, there's got to be that extra source of energy, and Nikan definitely is fitting the bill that for you guys. But I guess my next line of questioning is, have you discovered any trade secrets to maintaining that lifestyle? What would they be?
Oh, maintaining the lifestyle. Well, it's interesting. I was just going to go let you know. As soon as I found out how those insoles gave you more energy, they're in my ski boots. They're in my wetsuit boots when I windsurf, and they made a huge difference. And if I was still racing, which I did a fair amount of recreational racing, man, I'd have an edge probably. But the whole point is that I don't go anywhere without my magnetics. And one example is we were doing a windsurfing camp, and windsurfing can be very, very hard on your body. It's harder than skiing, and when you pay, you have to pay a lot of dues, and we were in this camp, and I had just, the first day I was like exhausted, and we had to do an evening training like inside, and my forearms were just screaming, I mean just hurting so bad from just pulling and tugging, and I don't have very big arms, and my strength isn't in my arms, so I went, oh my gosh, and this was back, I think, 92 maybe. And I remember taking a shower and taking two minis and putting one on each forearm under my sweatshirt and went to this little class. By the time I got back to go to bed, I had no soreness the next day. And I say this just to know that I wouldn't be anywhere without these products.
Mm-hmm. You're preaching to the choir here, at least, because as one who spent, 7-8 hours on the slopes yesterday, and you know, something about the Rogers that a lot of people may not know is that when we go skiing, we're kind of gluttons for punishment. We drag our entire families with us, and plus a few other neighbor kids that want to join the ride. So there was, 18 of us yesterday with four adults and, 14 kids. And they tend to go, a little faster than I would normally like to at 40 years young. And you're right, if you don't have the products and you're not using them, you're really setting yourself up for failure because, I guess I'm a little slower waking up the following morning, but, I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like after a very, physically exhausting and exerting day like that. Barb, one of the things that is for our seasoned wellness consultants, or those of us who are just getting started, we always are looking silver bullets, or those magic bullets, the little tips that, and I kind of led into this earlier about building the relationships, and I know that's crucial for you, that you don't really practice what we've heard is called the three-foot rule, that anybody gets in 3 foot from you, you're going to, you know, whip out your mag creator and drop them down on the pavement and give them a rollout on the spot. However, you like to build relationships. Let's talk about that for a bit. Why is it so crucial to not only build but maintain relationships with the people that you're wanting to introduce to Nikan?
Oh, it's a great topic, and it's one of my favorite. I do have to go back and clarify. I just realized I told you that in 1992 I was doing this windsurfing camp. Well, I didn't know Nikan then, but that was the first windsurfing camp I took, and I remember it. But the time that I described was 1998, so...
we wouldn't want to have the dates off because people are going to think that she just lied about her age. She's actually
exactly.
like 87, and she, you know, I'm doing the math.
Yeah, no, I apologize, but no, it's like another time that I did a camp. No, relationships, absolutely, it's the key. And I remember, and you would know, and many on the call may know, John Milton Fogg, and I remember reading an article in Upline, which was, the journal before Networking Times, and he had a great article in there about relationshiping, and I forget some of the other terms he used, but it's all about that relationship. And one of the things, and I've been as guilty as anybody in the past, we get so passionate, we get so hung up on everybody needing to know what we know, that you really break that bridge and you end up coming across as a salesman.
Mm.
By talking too much and not worrying or not working with the relationship part. And what's so much fun now is if you just think about connecting with people and just connect with them. Don't go there to, as I used to say, vomit Nikan over them. But just develop the relationship. Then the other fun part is create new relationships. It's so easy. And out of a relationship, you and I and everybody on the call knows that everybody out there in some form or fashion needs what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So in a conversation, something will come up that you can ask a question. And I'm still learning this skill of asking more questions than talking. It's a hard, hard thing because I like to talk and a lot of people do. And so... But relationships, and when I think about it, there's unlimited people that we know in our past that we can meet now, that you can just develop a relationship. And it may be not the first time you talk to them that you're going to even bring up Nikan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so critical to keep that in mind.
Well, and that's why you use the term vomiting Nikan. And whether it's Nikan or anything else, we tend to get passionately excited about things that we really enjoy. I mean, if we have a pulse and a heartbeat, and it's not about being a promoter or a salesperson. It's just when you have an experience, whether good book, good movie, shopping experience, whatever, we tend to tell other people about it. But at the same time, if we come across too strong and say, hey, you know, I can give this in doses, and we have this happen all the time where someone will say, hey, now, what is that thing that you've been working with? Or do you really believe that? I get that question all the time. I'm like, no, I just do it for the heck of it. And, you know, we earn really a decent living and get to live in a really nice home and, you know, get our car provided for. But, yeah, no, I don't really believe in it. It gets to be comical to me. But what you're talking about is the bottom line of we all have tons and tons of people right in front of us in our path, and that they're not going anywhere. And sometimes we don't necessarily have to make them converts overnight. We can develop the relationship and the rapport and have some fun with it. Barb, over the years, and especially over the past couple months, because I do look, and Dennis and Ruth Williams are so gracious enough that every month they kind of publish their top winners list of people that are maintaining good volume, and you're one of those. You've been on the list several times now. What are you doing? And I know the answer to this question because it ties right in with what we just talked about, the power of relationships. But what are you doing to maintain that? And maintain is not a bad term. This is a good thing, to be able to keep your organization, keep your personal group volume, in a sense that every month you know that there's a couple things going on here, that you're setting the example as a leader. Because a lot of times we could get to a certain level, and if you want to look at the gold and the platinum level as almost like a middle management or upper management level, to use a Rick Murphy term, that you could get to a point where you say, well, you know, I've kind of arrived, and I don't need to work as hard, and I don't need to talk to as many people. Obviously, that's not the case with you. So what are you doing?
Well, a couple things, and I just want to dovetail to what the former thing with relationships. The other thing along relationships and building is patience.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned more in the last couple of years about that whole planting the seed and being patient. Don't be pushing on that. You know, let it flow, let it go, and it comes back. And it's so important. And along those same lines, because you have this wonderful, what you think is going to work for somebody, it's not working right now, but don't destroy the relationship. Be patient, let it go, let them do their timing. But at the same time, be out there with other people. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. So I think that's one of the biggest things that people stress too much over. They make it harder than it needs to be, but that's because they're wanting it for somebody before they want it. So I just wanted to add that in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what am I doing? What am I doing? The point is, I love what we have. So I don't ever not do NECAN. And it's not that I go out and I have an intent that I'm going to talk to somebody about NECAN necessarily, but there isn't anywhere I go that there's not an opportunity. And let me give you the latest example. Yesterday, I stopped by a mall where some friends of mine do every year what they call curtain call. It's a consignment where people bring in things like draperies and furniture, and I volunteered to help them last year. So I went by to see if they needed any help, and they were so glad to see me. And as I'm leaving, I could only stay for an hour, the owner of this said, oh, I can't believe I didn't bring my insoles last year. I introduced her to insoles, and she was so grateful. And she says, I'm going to have those on tomorrow. And then she says to me, you need to talk to so-and-so, this other volunteer. She says, she's hurting. Her neck hurts, and she knows a lot of people. And so just before I left, approached the volunteer that I had met her, and I said, I understand. Oh, yes, da-da-da-da. And I gave her a power patch for her neck, and she immediately said, and she complained about her back. And I said, well, one of the things that I typically have on, and I meant to put it on here because I wear it all the time, but mine's in the car. When I come back tomorrow, I'll loan you my back thing. And she says, oh. And then she proceeded. I mean, I didn't want to go any more with that. She proceeded to say, well, my wrist, I normally would have a brace on, but this thumb and hand, I've been to a doctor. I didn't want to wear the brace here. And I said, well, I just took my bracelet off and said, here, would you like to wear this? Wear it, and I'll see you tomorrow. Let's see how it does. And then I gave her a little sample of cream. And she was just like open, open, open. I mean, I couldn't have approached somebody any easier. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So here's an example. I went there, but I was there helping. I wasn't there to talk me, Ken. And immediately she says, "Did you have your cards out here? Put your cards out here. And can I buy these things from you?" And I said, "No, you just try these for now, and I'll be back tomorrow to help." And blah blah blah. So as I say, I went there. And I had other things to do all day long with NECAN, and I just said, I've got to just go by and see if they need help. So my point is, flow with it, go with it, have an intent and help somebody, enjoy what you're doing. Don't, you know, be trying to sell NECAN, but you're going to have the opportunity. There's no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm. How did you just say that? Flow with it, go with it.
Yeah, let it go. Not to let go. And I mean, I'm talking to myself here, guys, because I'm
you don't realize some of these things. And I'm not saying that you and I and some of the other listeners that we've arrived and we've got it all figured out. However, there are certain things that we do naturally that we totally forget that, and it's in anything that we can do, that you develop certain techniques, and even talking to somebody, getting a cashier at a store to actually give you the discounted price, even though the sale doesn't start till, you know, that weekend. You know, what are some of the techniques that, you know, savvy shoppers use? Or, you know, it could be anything. And we forget that we naturally are doing these things until we remember and someone asks us, how did you do that? Well, something like flow with it and go with it and let it go. It's the simplicity of we don't have to make them Nikan converts overnight. If we'll build this relationship and rapport with enough people at the same time, that we can go back to them and we have this whole huge base of relationships. And that, it's not that we're using them or trying to get something out of them. We want to serve people. And I think that's what I often forget is that these people around us that we come in contact with day in and day out that aren't enjoying the quality of lifestyle, physically and financially, that we get to enjoy, they're there for a reason. And you know, there's got to be that balance. We can't twist their arm. You know, we can pull down on their arm. That's a phrase I've kind of added to my repertoire the last few weeks is that, you know, we never twist any arms. We just pull down on them. And for those of you who've never experienced the energy test, that doesn't quite jive. But I love that. You know, let it go. We don't have to convert them overnight. Now, Bob, the people that you've got that you're working with in your personal group, and this is my last and final question because I know you've got to get into your day there. Is there tidbits of encouragement that you those who are on auto ship and taking advantage of that wonderful system that Nikan's given us, are there things that you do to encourage them to, you know, like you said, flow with it, let it go?
Well, it's funny because I'm more and more, when I am talking with them, is trying to show that that's what I'm doing and that what I see happening is they're working too hard, they're stressing too much over this and not making it a natural thing. And yes, you do have to plan, you do have to set some goals, and you do have to have an idea. But also, along those lines, then once you articulate that, have that in your mind, then flow with it and go with it. And again, it's coming back so well in my mind and how I'm working, which is why my volume stays up, my personal volume, because I'm out there. And no, they're not all leaders that I'm contacting. They might be just a customer, but it's volume, it's connections, who knows what will happen. And the other part is it's fun for me. So, you know, if people are stressing over it and complaining that Nikan isn't working for them, blah, 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 well, guess what? If that's how you feel, that's how it's going to be.
But you just said something. It's fun for you. If it really isn't fun, and then... And this is something that I think is so vital that if it's not fun, we're kind of doing something wrong. It really should be fun.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, professional athletes, they don't work their job. They play that sport. And people that truly enjoy their job, which is it's a small percentage when you ask them honestly, because there's so many aspects of a job for employment that people don't enjoy doing. So that's where it comes work, or it becomes laboring, and where we get all these different terms from. Barbara, and I forgot there was one other question I wanted to ask you. What was it that you did that was a little out of the box, a little different from the ordinary person that's celebrating the six-decade mark of life? I think it's a fascinating thing, but I'd like you to share that with the group.
Well, it's another one of my adventure side, which most people don't see in me, but I jumped out of a plane at 6,000 feet just so that I could experience skydiving.
Now, 6,000 feet, is that standard height, or is it a little lower, a little higher, or is that for...
No, if I remember right, you go up to 13,000, and then as you get to 6,000, I'm pretty sure it was 6,000 where we actually jumped out, and it was fun. I went tandem, so don't get excited. It wasn't any big deal. Like I said, the cameraman, I have a DVD of it, which is, I'm so glad, because everything happens so fast you don't see it or remember it. But the cameraman would say to me, I mean, as we're on the plane and all these other experienced jumpers go out before us, and I'm hooked to the instructor, the tandem, and the video guy said, well, are you nervous? And I said, no. And because he says, are you sure? And I said, no, because if he doesn't make it, I don't make it. Well, up to him. So I wasn't a bit nervous. I may have looked nervous, but I wasn't. And until I got to the door, I have to tell you, as you're at the door and everybody else is out and you look at the earth and you see these people below you and you're supposed to go out of this, and I went, split second, oh my gosh, if I didn't have myself hooked to Kevin, I don't think I could go out of here, but I went out. Anyway, it was fun. And it was one of those things, been there, done that. Will I do it again? I could, but at least I've experienced it and I loved it.
Sure. Well, it was quite a milestone, and I think I think the biggest thing for me is that it sets you apart as one of those people that you're willing to try something, and do more than try. You're willing to, you know, put your best foot forward and say, no pun intended, because you weren't leading with your feet on that experience. But this really is being a seasoned wellness consultant who wants to kind of set themselves apart from the pack. Is that we got to be willing to, you know, jump out there and do things that most wouldn't. And otherwise, we're going to still be in the status quo 5-10 years from now and be looking back saying, why isn't this working? We, you know, I guess bottom line, if we get an idea or get a kind of a burr in our saddle and think, hey, maybe I'll go this direction, go try it. Have some fun with it. Build the rapport. And that's the biggest thing. And there's one thing I've learned from talking to you this morning, again, is that this really is fun. And staying with you in your home, I remember it's been several years, actually 5 years now, that Emily and I stayed with you and Dawn, and it really is a business about fun. So, Barb, thank you so much.
Well, I have to say, you just I never thought of it as an analogy, jumping out of the plane and jumping into things with your business. Oh, that's great. But it's all about balance, and it is tough. We all know it's tough to balance everything. And am I out of balance? Yes. I mean, because, you know, I can work till midnight doing Yuken's things and trying to keep that balance of making it fun. And is it work? Yes. But at least I enjoy the work, and other times when I'm frustrated, yes. But, you know, that's life. Mm. What I say to myself is you've got to live your Yuken life so that people want to live that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just remember from the very get-go, I had said, we have a gift for people. I'm not selling things. I have a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I probably came across as a salesman in the beginning. I know I did because I was so passionate. But now it's more of we have what so many people need right now. So don't worry about the person that doesn't want it. There's plenty out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and thank you for that. It's a great reminder. There's plenty out there. We don't have to kill ourselves trying to get to all of them, because 6 billion people on the planet, that's a lot of, 3x5 cards to write all those names down. Well, way more than we could actually maintain. Well, Barb Satterwhite has been our guest this morning and residing in Richmond, Virginia. And again, I truly do thank you, Barb, because I've jotted down several things that I knew that, you know, I need to remember to utilize these things, and you don't realize until someone brings them out. But if you liked what Barb said, or if you want to refer someone that, you know, maybe they're in the nursing industry, or maybe they're something that Barb said that you're thinking, man, I wish I could have had them on this call. Well, you can. There's a couple different ways, but the first one is growinginwellness.com. Brad Huddleston records the calls. They are available. You can go on the website and listen to them. And then also Steve Crowfoot makes it available at allswell.org. But take advantage of that, those two methods, and we will continue to hear of Barb's success. And I'm really hoping that we can understand and value the power of relationships, because it truly does make all the difference in the world. It's not a one-time sale to get people into Yuken or get them to purchase something. It's about allowing them to see what we know about how great Yuken is. So, Barb, thank you again.
You're welcome.
We'll stop and bid you farewell, and look forward to seeing you again and hearing again from you real soon. So thanks again.
Great. Enjoyed it. Thank you. Event for a couple of reasons.